Hello and welcome to an all-new edition of Talking Foosball, Aufstieg! And well, we had a Bundesliga 2 weekend which was as dramatic as Britney Spears cutting her hair. More drama in the Dritte Liga than among the metal hats of the 90s back when Metallica decided to cut their hair before releasing Load. And an awful lot more on this new episode of Talking Foosball, Aufstieg. My name is Nick Wildhagen and joining me is the bassist of the Eagles, I take it? Oh no, hang on, it's Jasmine Barber. How are you doing there, Jasmine?
Jasmine Barber? I don't know that one either.
No, Jasmine Hahn.
Yeah, you have to start including that in your script.
I should write down your name going forward, yes.
Don't know if it is the bassist of the Eagles, it's someone from the Eagles. It's definitely, I don't even know if it's the bassist from the Bangles either. It's just someone from the Bangles, yes. I'm not coping well to the current London humidity.
Yes, we're having a bit of a weird hair there, the two of us. I mean, to explain it a little bit, Jasmine looks like Monica on that episode of Friends when they went to the Bahamas.
Oh, that's my hair normally, to be fair.
Well, it's increased by volume, to say the least. Mike, I cannot see you. How's your hair doing?
Well, that's a pity, of course, as always, but my hair is fine and not that spectacular as yours, but okay.
Well, to explain a little bit, I decided to shorten my hair by 30 centimeters, so that's what all the fuss about hair is about. Anyways, we'll be right back with part one, where we'll talk an awful lot about all the drama that was going on in the Bundesliga 2 of late, because there's been an awful lot. Among those things were the top 8 teams not winning their matches last weekend. So all of that is to come. Right, here we go. It's part one of Talking Foosball, the Aufstieg edition. It's time to dive straight into the Bundesliga 2, and oh boy, we did have a lot to mull over the last time around. We had Friedhelm Funkel, Steffen Baumgart coming into new coaching positions. Now, Steffen Baumgart, he was the savior of HSMV. He was supposed to be the guy, quoting a German sports reporter, who said that Steffen Baumgart is the sort of guy who can set a wet towel on fire simply by speaking. How's it worked out so far?
Oh, well, there are a lot of wet towels in Hamburg at the moment, I think. But they are not on fire.
True. Well, yeah, I mean, looking at your weather report, I mean, they had two matches under him, and now both of them were against considerably weaker opponents, not really top-of-the-table teams. First one was a 1-0 win over Elversberg, and the next one, well, they played against Osnabrück. Osnabrück had taken 15 points, really looked down in the dumps, thoroughly relegated. At least that's what everybody else thought. So what happened?
Well, they did a really good match with a huge away support in the Volkspark. And in the end, they were down to 10 men for the last 15 or 20 minutes. And 1 minute to go before stoppage time, they got a penalty. And Michael Cusson's hammered that one under the bar, and from there it went behind the line, and in the end Osnabrück won that game 2-1. And in this season, out of their 18 points, they got 9 against HSV. So
6.
No, it's 9, because Hannover 96, they also call themselves HSV. And they won both matches against Hamburg, and they won last week against Hannover 96. So it's 9 points against HSV, and another one against St. Pauli. So they are really good against their northern rivals.
How did they do against Braunschweig, by the way? Did they win or lose that one?
Ooh, as they only have won 3 games, and all of them against HSV from the different cities, they at least have not won against Braunschweig. But let me have a quick look. Maybe they managed a draw. They lost 3-2 away.
You know, I mean, pending the reverse fixture against Braunschweig, they might actually, if you just put up a table over teams in the north of Germany, they might crown the king of the north.
The game in Braunschweig was this really dramatic one. The first one of Bicacic, who scored in the 98th minute to a 3-1 win. But another point from Osnabrück was achieved at home against Holstein Kiel. So maybe they should go back to the Regionalliga Nord.
Well, or maybe we should just reintroduce the Bundesliga 2 Nord.
Maybe, yeah.
Dieter Schatzschneider would love that. So that is Osnabrück. Now, Jasmine, you know, we talked a little bit about the style of Tim Walter, the style of Steffen Baumgart. Two matches in, obviously it's too early to draw any sort of definite conclusions. But given the fact that HSV haven't really improved anything, really. I mean, they're still as topsy-turvy, still do silly mistakes at the back. But additionally, you know, that attacking prowess that they possessed under Tim Walter, and always had under Tim Walter, suddenly is gone. Should we now even be more worried about them?
I would say, again, it's too early. Give it a few more games. I mean, the magic number, especially after international break, I would feel to give them at least that. We could normally give 8 matches or 8 weeks to an incoming coach. What's interesting is that I didn't see any real changes in kind of setup or formation in the team. It seemed to look the same kind of lineup. And that's really interesting. I didn't see anything new that way. It seems to be the same problems for Hamburg at the moment, and it has been the same problems for probably since the dawn of time. That
decades.
They have lots of possession. Yeah, decades. But especially from what I can remember, recent history, it's a lot of possession, and it's a lot of wasteful possession. Nothing really gets done with the ball. They have low quality shots. They only get 3 on target. In the game against Osnabrück, and one of them was a penalty and was Klatzel's goal. To put that into context, Hansa Rostock had 2 shots on target and scored both. So, you know, it's the same kind of wasteful possession on play from Hamburg at the moment. Only thing is, it's Steffen Baumgart football, which shouldn't really match these tactics for much longer or as much possession on play. Or in the same way as it was under Tim Walter. So that is definitely a wait-and-see game to see if that changes. Because right now it's just they're not doing anything with the ball and they seem to get run over on counter-defense.
Great. But on a little side note, we mentioned it at the start of the show, out of the top 8 teams, none of them won last weekend. And, you know, some Pauli have been sort of struggling of late. I mean, they had that loss against Magdeburg. Now they had a loss against Schalke, where they really didn't look too well. So going into that Sunday, everything was sort of set up for HSV to make a big, massive leap in the table. Because Holstein Kiel had only managed a draw against Hertha. Fortuna and Hannover 96 had taken the points from each other and ended up playing a 2-2 draw. Greuther Fürth lost 2-0. I mean, what happened?
Greuther Fürth only had 1 win in 5. They might have 1 in 6 or 7. Now, they were my pick to be like 3rd or so. As soon as I thought that, they completely fell apart. The only one who's on a good run is probably Paderborn and Karlsruhe, who are now nowhere near relegation.
Paderborn managed a 0-0 draw against Magdeburg to close out the last of the rest of the results from the top 8.
Yeah, but only 1 loss in 5, 3 wins, and that 1 draw. So, yeah, if you take in the whole context of the whole top 8, Paderborn and Karlsruhe are in the best kind of form, because Hannover lost and then draw, and Hamburg obviously 2 wins and 5, Pauli 3 wins and 2 losses. Holstein Kiel seems to have fallen off the wagon just a bit. Maybe Kiel's still in a kind of good form. But yeah, right now it looks like Paderborn and Karlsruhe are picking up the points when no one else is seeming to, especially in the place of Greuther Fürth and Dusseldorf. So I'd be keeping my eye on which one switches in and out on those places.
But what you're basically saying is that given the form of the teams around, then HSV should be a shoe-in for 3rd.
They always are, aren't they? No, but honestly, in terms of where it was, there's normally just 2 teams for 3rd, and it's just all, basically, it's all 6 for the top 3. Right now, it just looks like 3rd to 8th that anyone could go in.
Mm. I mean, Holstein Kiel are not on a particularly good run either. You know, getting that draw against Hertha, I mean, they haven't really been themselves or not as good after the winter break as they were before. They've sort of dropped off. The gap to St. Pauli has increased, even though St. Pauli has lost 2 matches.
Although, then know. It's like, if you look at the last two games, St. Pauli and Hertha, especially at Berlin, in Berlin, that is just the luck of the run. I think that's just two harder games put next to each other. They had a 4-0 win away at Paderborn, and they won against Schalke. Okay, the Magdeburg results a bit.
Well, they lost against Braunschweig. They lost against Fürth. They only managed to draw against Magdeburg.
Yeah, but is anyone else doing better? Hanover just lost to Osnabrück.
Yeah.
So did Hamburg. See, it's the lovely second Bundesliga where you can't tell if anyone's good or shite.
I mean, even a team like Nuremberg, if they were to win two matches now, they're on 33 points. HSV's on 41. Say HSV only managed to get another 2 points, and they suddenly in a two. So it's really no telling who'll go in and who'll go out of those promotion places. And honestly, it seems like the entire top half of the table is somewhat out of form.
With a -9 goal difference, I really doubt that from Nuremberg, but...
But Mike, what's your take on what's going on at the top of the table?
Well, first of all, you need to say that St. Pauli are still top of the table in the second part of the season. So out of 7 games, we at least managed to win 5. So we just get rid of the draws compared to the first part of the season. So we never lost a game in the first half. Now we lost 2, but we still win. And therefore, it's better to win 2 games and lose a 3rd game instead of doing 3 draws or 2 draws and win. And that's what we're doing. So therefore, I do not totally agree. Of course, the game on Friday at Schalke, it was really bad. It was probably the worst game of the whole season. And in addition, what might be a big challenge in the upcoming weeks is we lost Erik Smit due to injury, and also Oladapo Afolayan due to injury. So we will see on the weekend when we play Hertha how we deal with that situation. But in general, of course, as Jasmine said, you can't predict the Zweite Bundesliga. We do have a massive game on Friday when Düsseldorf welcomes HSV. So if they win, they can jump to 40 points, just 1 point behind HSV. And on the same weekend, Hannover, Fürth and Paderborn, if they win, they will climb to 41. So we could have place 3 until place 7 within 1 point, if everything works out.
And, well, will it? If you were gambling, when will everything work out?
Well, can I just remind you who of us told you on Saturday to bet €100 on Osnabrück?
You did.
And even if you are very defensive, you could bet on a 0 or 2 combination. And you said you are not that mad. So you should have listened to me.
I should have, because I looked up the odds. You know, I could have gotten for every Norwegian krona I put in, I could have gotten, I think, 9.5 back. So if, you know, if I would have been a little bit more defensive than, let's say, your €100 and just put down 100 Norwegian krona, which... Now that the krona's really been taking a hit on the international currency market for the last few years, not really worth all that much. But, you know, I would have ended up with, almost €80 in my pocket, which, you know, would have been nice.
Yeah.
Could have bought myself almost a plane ticket to Hamburg or something.
Yeah.
With that money.
For another second league game next season.
True. True.
In the northwestern part of the city.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to go to the Bundesliga 2 in Hamburg anymore if it's just like, you know, Stellingen you have to go to. So difficult to get there. Sort of like, now that they haven't really managed to get that HSV Plaza off the ground, you know, I wanted that, you know, that top roof terrace that was talked about by HSV, by Mr. Desertfield. If that project would have gotten off the ground, I would have gladly gone and watched an HSV match from the top, from the rooftop of HSV Plaza. What a pity. But anyways, yes, so you heard it here first. Betting advice from Mike Krückemeyer. Always take it.
Yeah, sometimes at least. But I wasn't joking. Maybe not for the €100, but I would have bet €20 on Osnabrück. But I don't bet against HSV at all, because every time I do, it doesn't work out. So I don't do that.
Anyways, you've lost Erik Smit. I hear there are some more injuries at St. Pauli at the moment.
Yeah, Oladapo Afolayan, and he's our best striker at the moment, or at least offensive player in the Rückrunde, and that's also a huge loss. We do have that new player from Sweden, Erik Ahlstrand, and he played at least in the under-23 game last weekend, so he might be an alternative. Elias Saad comes back after he was booked, or he was suspended for one game due to 5 yellow cards. So, of course, we will have 11 players on the field. It's not that dramatic, but Eric Smeed might be a huge, huge impact not having him in the next game or in the next games. And therefore, well, we need to see how it works out. On the other hand, we do have 48 points already. We can keep it low for the next couple of games. If we just win a few of them, it should be fine.
Well, there you go. And there is some more news, which is good for St. Pauli. Your coach, what about him?
Well, yeah, it depends. I need to say we do this recording on Wednesday evening, 9 p.m. Central European time. So if you hear this, he might have extended his contract. At the moment, he hasn't done that yet, or at least not officially. And there are some, well, discussions going on about some clauses in his contract that he can leave for another club, even in the summer, especially if we will not be promoted. But if we are promoted, there might be a clause for him to leave, at least for a top club, whatever that means. I would say for a club that will play in Europe next season. And, well, as you know, there are many, many trainers for sale, more or less, in the upcoming summer period. Alonso might go and Hoeneß might go to another club, and whatever happens, it might start a domino effect, and in the end we might lose our coach. But if that extension has taken place by then, of course we at least do get some money. And rumors say that he needs to activate that clause until end of April, which at least gives us some time to search for a replacement.
Well, good news all around. And at this stage, how disappointed would you be if St. Pauli isn't getting promoted to the Bundesliga? Because I think a lot of Hürzler staying, as it sounds, is depending upon St. Pauli getting promoted to the Bundesliga.
Yeah, well, I would be, of course, hugely disappointed, not because of Hürzler, but because it's a huge chance for us to play in the first league and HSV plays in second league next year. Of course, well, they could get promoted as well, but I would really like to see us playing one league above them for the first time in history, especially as the biggest Hamburg newspaper just made a big relaunch to their website, the Hamburger Abendblatt. And you know these columns that newspapers have in their news section, and they do have, I don't know, Hamburg, politics, finances, whatever. And then they do have HSV, and then they do have sport. And St. Pauli is one of sport. And I would like to see what happens when we go up and HSV stays where they are. So they might need to make a relaunch again.
But aren't they traditionally a very HSV-friendly paper, or at least a paper that has sort of very close connections to the club?
Yes, of course. And all newspapers in Hamburg are very close to the HSV, and they all do have a direct line to the advisory board, funnily, for St. Pauli fans especially, because we really like to see all the details and all the dirty details and all the very exclusive statements from Klaus-Michael Kühne, for example. But again, they do play for 6 years now in the same league as we do, and at the moment we are the better team, so I think it's a little bit, well, interesting that they made this arrangement and that they have set HSV as an own column and St. Pauli just under sport. And I'm eager to see what happens in the summer.
Great, me too. Rounding up this segment is Rostock. Jasmine, Rostock.
Rostock.
What's been going on with their fans?
Oh, just the same, just chaos. And then we love a bit of Hansa Rostock being a point of our show to talk about what they've done now.
It just shows you what happens if people have bad childhoods.
One of my favourite doctors is from Rostock, and that came up during the last appointment. It was very funny. She's not a Rostock fan, because she's quite well-meaning.
Do you ask her if she ever was considered to be multi-criminal as one of the most famous ultra groups?
No, but I can bring it up next time. But yeah, after, I think, Ragnar Ache made it 2-0, I believe. Ragnar Ache is the key point of this Kaiserslautern team, and when they were away at Hansa Rostock, he went to celebrate after his goal at the corner flag with his teammates, and all of a sudden, a hooded individual came up and tried to strike Ragnar Ache and was quite quickly, I don't know if it's quite quickly detained, because he got to the point where Ragnar Ache was and then tried to fight other Kaiserslautern players, but was dragged away. But the fact that a fan got that close, and I don't know, I've seen it a couple of times, I still don't know if he got near to Ache, could strike him. He got quite close, but I don't know if there was an actual physical, if he landed a punch, basically.
I think he'd attacked Opoku, because he was, he is a former Rostock player. And then he fell down for whatever reason. I don't know if Opoku struck back. I don't think so. I think just some people pushed him or something. And then he tried to get to Ache, but at that moment the stewards were already there. And they were really, really fast bringing him outside of the stadium. So, yeah, of course,
whoever got to him first and dragged him did a very good job.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of like, whoop. And then just he was suddenly gone. But I think it kind of brought up the point about safety at matches. And I'm kind of surprised, because if something had happened, I've said that a couple of times, that if something happened of this scale to an official, that a game would be suspended or at least like for a timed-wise pause for a couple of minutes. Didn't seem to be no such thing. It literally was 2 minutes until we restarted after the goal. Like, everything was normal. And I do feel like there needs to be a little bit harsher consequences on this scale, because we're seeing more and more disruptions, and I don't mean protest disruptions, I mean physical altercations, people running onto the pitch, not only in Germany and not only in lower league, but especially when we talk about Hansa Rostock fans and similar clubs of that ilk, this seems to be concerning.
But there doesn't seem to be any sort of consequences at all, really, because before the winter break, I remember the politicians of Mecklenburg-Vorpommern, they went on a bit of a rant, or they were really hard on Hansa Rostock, saying that, you know, you guys, you have to sort this sort of thing out. We don't want any violence at your matches. We don't want any racism. We don't want any homophobia. We want you to be clear with your fans that this sort of behavior is not acceptable. Get rid of the violence. And here you have an individual getting over the barriers, posing quite a viable threat of violence to an innocent individual on the pitch.
Who's just doing their job.
Who's just doing their job. And, you know, if he isn't stopped, there might be really dire consequences.
Exactly. And we don't see the same. I mean, if something is thrown at an official, I think the only kind of example that I can pick out from my head, because it's just a living memory, is the Bundesliga game between Bochum and Mönchengladbach, when they threw a beer at the official and the game was called off. Yeah, it was easier circumstances because Gladbach were already 2-3-0 up to forfeit the game and award the points to Gladbach. But there was no such thing. There's been beers thrown, coins thrown at players, and we don't see any of the same kind of consequences. And as you say, that they've had the Mecklenburg-Vorpommern officials try and be like, well, you need to start doing this. But let's say Hansa Rostock, and I'm no way agreeing with what goes on at Hansa Rostock, but I can see why Hansa Rostock have not put such a emphasis on banning that out. Say you start banning those ultras and stuff, they're going to be like, well, who's going to come to our games? That's our fan base, and that's how we make money. That's probably their argument against it. Again, I think it's stupid. that that's probably, it's either incompetence or not naivety, because they know what they're doing.
Let's spin this a little bit further. So if Ragnarache or Opoku would have hit that fan in the face, and I think we all would have understood this reaction, then that player would have been sent off with a red card. And this would have been a major consequence if the other way around, the fan would have hit a player and that player would have gone down. I am sure the game would have been suspended. But luckily, this did not happen and that guy just fell down and that was it. And no really big consequences for the players. But Hansa now announced, at least, that this guy, and there was also another after the game who got on the field, he tried to reach one of his own players and he was stopped by the stewards before he was able to do it. And these two guys will be banned for 3 years from all stadiums. Yeah, that's the maximum punishment that's possible for someone who does something like that for the first time. So you can't ban that person for a longer period. And they also announced that the fee they need to pay to the DFB will be charged to those two guys. And when you take a look at the fees that the DFB announces at the moment, that could be a huge sum. So let's see how that works out. And usually, of course, I think the fees from DFB are totally ridiculous. But of course, like Jasmine explained, you should not go under any circumstances on the pitch and especially not hit any opponent. So therefore, that's okay from my point of view.
I can't believe we have to clear that up for anyone listening, but...
You know, good to say that at least, yeah.
Yeah, violence, don't use it.
On that note, just to keep on the hands of Rostock, there are reports coming out that Christian Walter could be sacked, which is their sporting director.
Ooh.
I think it's kind of opinionated columns, just because they've only had one win in 10.
I mean, we sort of thought, like, when they changed coaches and they brought in the former Jan Regensburg coach...
Selim Begovic.
That's the one. We thought, yeah, well, maybe they started to play passionate football and all that, and maybe they started looking better again. But now they're still in 17th, 2 points behind Braunschweig, who also lost on this weekend. Braunschweig lost to Nuremberg. And then they are 3 points behind Kaiserslautern, who they lost against... So, and they lost by big numbers. They lost 3-0. So the goal difference of Kaiserslautern is now considerably better than theirs, which also might pose a problem at the end of the season if, you know, all four teams stay where they are. And now Osnabrück, actually, I mean, we sort of thought that, well, you know, they're down in the dumps. They're bad. Well, they've taken 7 points from the last four matches. One against Hansa Rostock, 3 against HSV, and 3 against the bigger HSV. So where is that battle against relegation going then? Especially with Schalke now extending their gap to Braunschweig to 5 points.
I can see Osnabrück and Hansa Rostock down. I don't know about Kaiserslautern. I don't know. So those four, I think, are the four. I don't think Wiesbaden drops enough points to go... I know it's only 6 points between Braunschweig and Wiesbaden, but I don't see... They're just Braunschweig, Hansa Rostock, Osnabrück, and Kaiserslautern are so bad. And I feel like putting your trust into Friedhelm Funkel is not a good shout either. So I don't know which of those four. I just hope it's any of those four.
Yeah, I would like to see Osnabrück doing a run. I don't know if this will really happen because it's a huge gap of 6 points. But we just clarified they do good against clubs from the north. They do have 4 games against clubs from the north, so that's 12 points. They will reach 30 in total. I don't think that will be enough. So maybe they can do the relegation game, but that would mean that Rostock and Braunschweig nearly need to lose everything. So I hope that Osnabrück will make it. I do like their coach a lot, and I would really love to see them in the league again next year, but I hope that they will make it. And Rostock is really shit at the moment. Selim Begovic did not turn out to be the big help they hoped for, and I also like him. So, yeah, I think it will be really tough for the both of them. Braunschweig and Kaiserslautern, they are in good form, at least for the last weeks, especially Braunschweig, so might be challenging between these two. I doubt that anyone else will be involved in that.
Yeah, I think Schalke sort of has enough to turn around. So there. Well, this is it for part one of Talking Foosball. We'll be back with Lower League news in just a jiff. We're back, and it's time to talk a little bit about the Dritte Liga and other lower leagues. And, well, Jasmine, you're sitting there in your Dynamo Dresden jersey.
I think it's a training top, because it has...
Training top? Yeah. It says MH. Yeah. What might that stand for?
Mental health.
Yes. Very, very nice. Didn't expect that one. You know, what's been going on at Dynamo Dresden of late?
A lot. So, they've only had one win in five. They've had really shit form. Anyone who joined probably a couple of weeks ago, maybe a bit before, they started after the winter break just really falling off the wagon. They had around, I can't remember how big the point gap between them and fourth place was, but it was around 8-10 points. That has been close. They've now moved down to third from second and first, and they're 4 points away from fourth, so they're not in the automatic qualification, and there's chances of them missing out on any promotion chance at all. This has caused a lot of unrest, as it's the second time in a row that this is basically happening. With everyone thinking Marcus Anfang's going to get the sack, it's actually been a surprising day of news, with actually the sporting director being let go. So Dresden have put out a stadium that they released him with after meetings with supervisory board. And yeah, that it was basically ups and downs, and their ambition is bigger than just being third in the league and missing out on automatic promotion. And their board advisor, Kirsten, today met with head coach Marcus Anfang and the assistant coaches to discuss what happens next. Now, Kicker went out with a article, I think 2 days ago, that would be Ralf Becker and Marcus Anfang gets two more games and then gets the sack. But that doesn't seem to be the case. They put out a statement that Marcus Anfang has their full trust and they believe they can make it work, which is a really big statement to put out there, especially when Kicker was convinced that he was getting the sack.
What they're basically saying is that, well, we've looked at the situation and we think that the coach has not been given the right players by a sporting director to reach his goals. It's the sporting director's fault, not the coach's.
I'm not going to comment more on that.
I mean, that's what I read into that. I mean, how else could you sort of understand the action taken by the board?
Good gameplay as well. But less about that. I think there is a line of truth in that. They weren't happy with their head of recruitment. They got rid of him, who is now at the sporting director of Hansa Rostock, Christian Welter, as I just mentioned. And yeah, so now I think it would be a big thing. I know some other clubs have done it, but normally when they're in the complete shit. So to be left without both a sporting director and a coach is quite heavy hitting, especially if you're still in promotion. They're only 1 point behind automatic promotion in Ulm, who has gone above them. But like the second Bundesliga, the third Bundesliga has had lots of teams who were in the chase for promotion and the playoff suddenly fall apart. Regensburg, who overtook Dresden, are similarly on a very bad one, 1-5. So that has closed the gap between those three. Dresden on 50, Ulm on 51, and Regensburg on 53. Both Regensburg and Dresden were like 10 and 8 points ahead of everyone else. And then you've got Preußen Münster on 46, so 4 points and 5 points off playoff, and they're smashing up.
Preußen Münster, basically newly promoted team, hasn't played in the Bundesliga 2 for ages. Regensburg and Dresden, obviously the sides with a lot of history in that division. of late, and well, Ulm, same story. Newly promoted team, you know, they're actually a bit of a Bundesliga history. I think they are the club that was relegated with the most points gathered. I think they got relegated after gathering 38 points. But anyways, be that as that might, I mean, losing out to such teams, though, that's probably the bigger point here. Losing out for promotion against such teams is far beneath the sort of standard that Dynamo Dresden should set for itself, right?
Yeah, but we've said that time and time and again. And same goes with Regensburg, who else went down? Bielefeld, I mean, we've just completely ignored Bielefeld. Yeah, Ulm and Preußen Münster are going for two consecutive promotions. Well, Arminia Bielefeld's kind of trying to do the opposite, three consecutive relegations. But the whole kind of playoff situation in the third league is completely insane now because, yeah, Ulm are on 51, so we'll just take that as the first promotion spot. Dresden on 50, Preußen Münster on 46, Dortmund, Spy don't really matter, but are on 45. Sandhausen also on 45. Unterhaching, who was around third behind Dresden, have now dropped away, but still on 43. That's 7 points between third and eighth. Is anyone on a good run, such as Preußen Münster, like they have done, can just retake it? And if Ulm starts slipping away, then Regensburg's spot is probably also up for the taking. So it always depends on who has the late run, and right now Preußen Münster has it, and we'll see if Dynamo Dresden or Regensburg get their groove back.
Well, I mean, it's 10 matches to go, 30 points that are to be dealt out potentially to each and every team in the league. Dynamo Dresden are taking on 1860 Munich, another chaos club, on Friday. That should be fun. Ulm are taking on Sandhausen, who are also sort of lurking behind there, and Unterhaching are playing against Duisburg. Now, talking about Duisburg, they sort of seem to be down in the dumps, so seemed Waldhof Mannheim, and, you know, Mike, you said 4 weeks ago, well, they've gotten injuries to one of their most important players. Looks bad for them, and suddenly both Waldhof Mannheim and MSV Duisburg have actually closed the gap to a certain team that, you know, we haven't mentioned all this much of late, but we're talking about Arminia Bielefeld and Hallische FC.
Yeah.
So what's that relegation battle in the Dritte Liga looking like right about now?
It's a little bit like Walking Dead, to be honest, especially for Duisburg, who seemed to be dead a few weeks ago. We talked about that, I think, also in the last episode. That they are doing quite well again, and they also now won against Dortmund 2, and well, the gap is still there for Duisburg. It's 4 points, for Mannheim it's 3 points, and Mannheim won on the weekend, but they didn't do that good in the weeks before. But on this weekend, at least they beat Regensburg, and that after being 0-1 down at halftime. So, well, we'll see. And part of that, Waldhof Mannheim announced that they have a new female managing director. And in German football, that's still a news, unfortunately. So would be better if it's just one news among others. But to install a woman in such a high rank in a football club still is something special. And she's called Jennifer Schäfer. She was working at Mannheim before, and when they sacked Markus Komp, who was the managing director before her, they searched for a new person, and they found out, oh, we do have the best person already in our lines, and then they promoted Jennifer Schäfer to that new role. She was also responsible for the license for the new season. So, yeah, good luck to her.
Good luck to her indeed, and well, it's going to be exciting to see which dent will be walking towards the end of the season. Other news, Mike, can a team, and you know, you are a referee in the lower divisions, can a team, and I've always been wanting to ask you this, can a team, you know, forfeit a match and still draw an advantage from that?
Oh, that's a good question, Nick. Thank you for asking.
It's taken me 2 years, yes.
So let me dive into the Kreisklasse C. So it's as grassroots level as it can be. There is no league below that. It is, I don't know, let me just quickly count. Oberliga is League 5, and then we do have 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. That's it. There is no 12th league, at least not in Schleswig-Holstein. So League 11 in Schleswig-Holstein, Kreisklasse C, and there we do have the teams of TuS Black and White Elmschenhagen 2, and we also do have TuS Black White Elmschenhagen 3 in that league, but the team number 3 only plays with 9 people, not with 11. That's a special rule that you can apply to in the lower leagues. And unfortunately, the TuS Elmschenhagen 3 gave up during the season, so they are not competing anymore. But TuS Elmschenhagen 2 still try to do. At the moment, they just have collected 3 points this season, which is the same amount as VfR La Boe collected up to now. And on this weekend, something magical happened. So La Boe lost their game 10-0 on Saturday. And on Sunday, there should have been the game between Heikendorfer SV 3 and TuS Black and White Elmschenhagen 2. And you might have expected that they lose again and stay last place in the table. But they did something really smart. They did not show up. And therefore, the game, of course, will be counted for Heikendorf, but because their goal difference is better than the 10-0 loss of VfR La Boe, they climbed up a place in the table and they are not in last position anymore. So congratulations, TuS Elmschenhagen 2. Very smart move.
Well done. Well done. I mean, that's how you move forward in life, isn't it? Anyways, talking about moving forward, Regionalliga teams, it's time for them to apply for a license in the Dritte Liga. And are there any sort of fun teams amongst the 25 teams that have applied for Dritte Liga license?
Well, I don't know if there are fun teams, but we might just list them up because there are not that many, at least. And we do know that, for example, for the Regionalliga Bayern, it will be Würzburger Kickers because they do have a lead before Bayern Munich, two of many, many points. But the team that will be champion of Bayern, which is probably Würzburger Kickers, will need to play a playoff game against the team from the north. And that probably will be either Hannover 96-2 or Phoenix Lübeck. Phoenix Lübeck at the moment is the favorite because they do have, I think, 6 points less than Hannover, but they do have 4 games at hand. I think we discussed that also in the last episode because of the weather here in Schleswig-Holstein at the moment. So it probably will be either Phoenix Lübeck or Hannover 96 playing against Würzburger Kickers in the playoff. And from the other leagues in the Regionalliga Nordost, we do have Greifswalder FC, which to my knowledge have never been in the third league. We do have BFC Dynamo, the formerly biggest club in East Germany. We do have Victoria Berlin, Babelsberg and Altglienicke, but I think the race will be done between Greifswald, Dynamo and Energie Cottbus. These are the 3 clubs that do have a good chance. For the Regionalliga West, it will be either Alemannia Aachen or Bocholt. Rot-Weiß Oberhausen also applied, but Aachen and Bocholt do have the best chances. And in Südwest, it will be either FC Homburg or Stuttgarter Kickers. And if I'm not totally wrong, let me just have a quick look at the table. Yeah, I think it probably will be Stuttgarter Kickers, but it's 6 points to Homburg, so Homburg still has a chance in the remaining 12 games, of course.
Right, so well, fun teams. Any sort of fun teams?
Well, Greifswalder FC. I've never been there. I don't know anything about them. So that's my joker. Cool.
Greifswalder, for me, it's Phoenix Lübeck. Alemannia Aachen, I'm kind of done with after, you know, not really being able to stand up against racism. Poor show, really. Which is a shame. Rot-Weiß Oberhausen, I would prefer, because I think, is it their former president or the current president actually is an actor?
Yeah.
Who works as a theater guy in the city?
Yeah, correct. He's a funny guy, and yeah, I do like him, but they are 13 points behind Aachen, so probably not that big chance.
I'm going to go FC Homburg because they had a good run in the DFB Pokal, and Danny Schwartz seems cool.
No, and they used to have condom commercials on their jerseys back in the 80s when...
No, they...
Yes, they did. And the funny thing was...
We did that.
Yeah, they did. And the funny thing was that Gerhard Meyer-Vorfelder from the DFB wanted it removed. So they actually had to tape over the logo of their sponsor.
We did this in an episode.
With gaffer tape, yeah. So, yeah, we might have done that.
We definitely did. There was many jokes.
Yeah, couldn't keep them in. Anyways, so, well, Homburg might be a fun side. But, yeah, we'll see who gets promoted. I'm sure we'll get back to it in the not-too-distant future. But anyways, this is it for an all-new edition of Talking Foosball, the Aufstieg edition. Guys, Jasmine, where can people find Mrs. Hahn on social media, and where can they find Mrs. Hahn's work?
I don't really have any work, I don't think.
Just slumming it.
_ Jasmine Hahn. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram from there. And if there is anything, it will be on there.
Mike?
Yep, no personal active social media account anymore, but you can find the Millanton on Blue Sky Mastodon, Threads, Facebook, Instagram, and everywhere else, and of course on Millanton.de.
You can find me online looking for hair pieces. You can find me on X at Non-Musings. You can find the podcast at Talking Foosball on there. Make sure to leave us a review on wherever you listen to your podcast. We do enjoy to read them. This episode of Talking Foosball has been produced by Aiden Rantoul, as always. The boys will be back in a jiff talking all about the latest developments in the Bundesliga, and oh boy, is Bayer Leverkusen really issuing now? And what is going on in the race against promotion? Loads and loads of fun stuff to come up this weekend in the Bundesliga as well, so stay tuned for all of that. Talk to you next week. Until then, it's goodbye for now.